This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We just rolled through another Sunday. You might have been in church. Are your sermons that you're listening to more political? Pew did an analysis of it, and they say yes, indeed, since 2020. Richard Branson went into space. What does that mean for everybody else? A Florida condo collapse really has many of us thinking about calling for more inspections when we live in condos or higher buildings. But is that really a big concern in Miami? I think it is. And then CPAC closed out by the former President Trump. How much clout does he have in the midterm elections? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you also rolled through a wonderful weekend. I know it's kind of a mixed bag weather-wise across the United States. Let's talk first about CPAC and President Trump. And, you know, you look at the midterm elections coming up, and you also look at some of the governor's races. You've got governor's races in some key states, Texas, Massachusetts, Maine, Maryland, Ohio, Georgia, they're all going to be in play. You look at the Republican Party and where the Republican Party is now and who is the leading voice heading into the 2022 midterm elections. And I think when you line things up, especially you look at the closing keynote of the former president, there is lots of popularity with Trump. And when you are a governor in one of those key states, that's what you're looking for, right? It's about the reelection and how do you get that other term? Who do you get that's backing you up that has sway? That's politics, sway and leverage, no matter Democrat, Republican, you know, whatever. That is what makes a lot of voters think about what they're doing, apparently, when we look at some of these exit polls for what they're worth. And there are a couple of those states that I mentioned that are going to be pretty interesting battlegrounds. One of them in Georgia, that's one of the biggest battlegrounds. Governor Brian Kemp, because if you think about Trump being upset with him after the 2020 presidential election, you know, what does that mean? The former Democrat, Vernon Jones, he is clearly on the coattails of the former president and the primary challenge of Kemp, who's tried to kind of claw his way back by signing election reform. So it's interesting. How do you shore up the base? How does that get you to get voters to go your way? And again, governor, and then you think of on the Hill, the seats that are up there and some of the intense races. And we know this, that you have to start running, you know, a year at least in advance. So we're going to hear more and more about that. We're going to have more people on, political strategists, as to what it looks like, the landscape, politically speaking, anyway, in your backyard and in my backyard. And by the way, one of the things that Trump has talked about, and that's part of that whole message at the CPAC, is you can't stop us. You can't shut this down. And, you know, there is going to be influence when it comes to these elections. I mean, he's definitely still very popular. And that's why I mentioned those states. And Trump is going to run in 2024. So that's part of that message there. And like I said, in a presidential election, you can add another year to it. So you're looking at there's the run-up right now. And what are the Democrats doing as far as shoring up whatever their base is? Ugh, politics as usual. And I mentioned, too, at the top of this, what's happening in churches and what's going on with sermons. And it used to be that you kept politics out of church, but is that really true? Two-thirds of American congregations say they've heard explicit political messaging in sermons. They did anyway in the run-up to the 2020 election, and more than a quarter of churches posted something political on their websites. I certainly have seen that. This is that analysis by the Pew Research Center, which, by the way, isn't right, left, or anything. They're just crunching numbers. So politics weren't mentioned evenly across sex. Pew found 71% of evangelical Protestant congregations heard at least one sermon referencing the election. 63% of both mainline, if you want to call it that, Protestant and historically black Protestant congregations, and only 41% of Catholic congregations. So those are the numbers. You know, 71 the highest, the evangelical Protestant group, 63 the mainline Protestant group, and then 41 and black Protestant groups, and 41 of Catholic congregations. So how do they come up with these numbers? I can't just tell you those numbers and not tell you how. They looked at 12,832 publicly available sermons from 2,143 churches, and they did that, Pew did, from August 30th to November 8th, 2020, which is, of course, the height of the battle in an election season, in a presidential election anyway, that whole period, and then all the concerns about coronavirus too were part of that, were part of the political conversation. And of course, COVID-19, the pandemic, was the most discussed topic by the clergy. 83% of congregations hearing at least one sermon touching on the pandemic. I don't think that's a shock, because it changed our life. How could you not in any way address that? It would be addressed, but the politics mixed in between and what those sermons actually said and how the congregation reacted to it, that's the other part of the story that we don't know, which I think would be fascinating. All right, Richard Branson, huge. He said it was magical. The space plane carried him up, reaching the edges of space, and came back safely. So the billionaire entrepreneur adventurer did, you know, realize his dream of space travel by taking off on Sunday. So Branson and his crew experienced about 4 minutes of weightlessness before their space plane glided to a runway landing. The entire trip delayed 90 minutes because there was some bad weather the previous night. It lasted about an hour. He was ecstatic, hugging family and friends once he landed. And he said it's 17 years of painstaking work, the occasional horrible down and large ups with it, and today was definitely the biggest up. He turned 71 this week. He said he wanted to do it. You heard about the 17 years that I mentioned. So there was a crew of 2 pilots and 3 mission specialists. They were carried to an altitude of more than 8 miles by the aircraft VMS Eve, which is named after his mother, by the way. People were watching it live. There was video of it. There's still video of it out there. And there were a lot of, there were some criticisms, but there were a lot of praise for him. I don't know. Look, if you have that much money, he gives a ton of it away and he wants to do that. Good for him. I mean, he has raised a ton of money for charity. If he has money to burn and he wants to go into space and he can make it happen, great. What does it mean for regular people? You're going to have to pay a lot of money if you're going to get on one of those trips, and it's going to take a long time for that to become any kind of a norm, I think. But I think it's interesting, right? I mean, why not? So Branson's, you know, presence on the flight, of course, raised the level of global interest in doing this and testing it and, you know, all of that. So good for him for doing it, right? I was thinking of John Glenn, who flew on the shuttle. I was in a newsroom when that happened. 77. He was 77 years old in 1998. All right, the condo collapse on your minds, part of what we're going to talk about in the mailbag. That's coming up around the bend.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back to school and off to college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Once again, you have filled the mailbag 24/7. If you have any thoughts on the show, anything you want to share, want a high five, shout out to somebody who's doing something amazing in your community, we love this listening audience. Tell us, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Here's one from Mac. He's listening to us in Orlando. Kate, it is devastating what's happened in Florida at Surfside. I have some friends that live kind of close to it, and they've walked by a few times. They don't want to be interlopers, but they just say, you really feel for the families who are waiting, but you also feel for the rescue and recovery workers that went into that mode where they're just trying to find bodies. It has to really be tough on your psyche. I used to do that kind of thing, not to the level they're doing it, but it must be incredibly devastating. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the death toll now with this 12-story building in Surfside is 90-plus, I mean, and counting. We're into day 18 of this, believe it or not. Wow. So they're identifying people. That's good news. The fact that you have more than 200 people that are accounted for, that's good news, because I think the more people have that closure, the better. And then you're hearing of some of the good stories of the people who got out in time, etc. But, you know, it happened at 1:15 in the morning. I mean, this goes back to June 24th. So you're in a condo. That's not normally where you would be bopping around or, you know, think, I got to run out of this place. I'm feeling a weird shake. And this Surfside, by the way, because a couple of you have asked me this, Mac, you didn't ask this, but it's about 6 miles north of Miami Beach. And there's about 55 of the 136 units were destroyed, and then they had to destroy the rest of the building last week that we talked about, because partially because of the structural integrity, and the rest was because of that tropical storm that was headed to Florida. It was just, you know, too risky. Now, there was one thing that happened that I thought was interesting. They found a cat called Binks, and they brought him to a local animal shelter. It was identified as one of the cats missing after the disaster. So, you know, it's, when you have a ray of hope, even finding a cat that was a pet, I think there's something to that. And I can only imagine what it is like seeing the hundreds of first responders who have combed through the pancaked piles of debris, who were trying desperately to find survivors, and now, of course, now it's a rescue operation. And it's really a big, giant pile, and it's got to be tough. I love that they stop and they have a brief moment of silence to honor what's happened, to honor the people, you know, pay respects of people that they're pulling out of these piles. It just shows you. All right, here's one from Randy. Kate, I have emailed you a few times. It's been a while. Sorry. I've been knee-deep in getting a master's degree, for what it's worth, for the field I'm in computers and coding. It makes sense. So I get to hear your show, but I just don't get a chance to reach out very often. And I was wondering what you think of CPAC wrapped up, and there's so many questions about the reach of the former president. Do you think Trump will have a big impact on the midterm elections? I do think he'll have a big impact on a lot of different states, and I mentioned some of the states where there are big races, whether it's gubernatorial races or midterm elections, which is what you're referring to on the Hill. I think so. There certainly have been tests of his popularity, and when you look at polls, any kind of polls, he absolutely is still in the minds of many, 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 many people. And CPAC was about that he's the defiant former president, saying, you know, you're not gonna shut us down, and what we're seeing in the country is XYZ, and you know, and backing up certain people. So yes, the answer is yes, but I think you have a little bit of a fracture in the Republican Party. And then what about the independents? You know, it's always the push-pull of the independents. Who's dissatisfied? Who's running? That kind of thing. So the flat-out answer is yes. And then the next question is, what about 2024? And the answer is yes. Yes, he's going to run. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. All right, here's one from Anne. Kate, I have been thinking about emailing the show, but it's been crazy going through what we're going through here with these high temperatures. I live in California, and we're getting the extreme heat again. And I'll tell you, when they say extreme heat, it's the kind of heat where, like, your sandals feel like they're going to catch on fire when you walk out the door. And I know everybody talks about Death Valley. You've talked about it because, of course, that's always going to hit high numbers. I mean, it's known to be a very, very, very hot place. But the rest of California and then some other places like Las Vegas, I was reading, I have a sister that lives there, that I called her after I saw this, was 117 degrees. Wow, that's hotter than Hades there. I mean, it does get hot there, and I think you live there, but that is crazy high. You know, it's funny you say about Vegas. I'm part of the National Speakers Association, and I didn't go to the conference this year. They had a much smaller scale conference because I was focusing on the show and some of the other things we're doing for the show. But otherwise, I would have taken all of you with me to Las Vegas, and you would have heard what was happening on the airwaves. But people have said to me, and I've written things that people have posted that were headed there, that some of their planes couldn't land because it was too hot, because the runway. And I think, I lived there, you're right, and they always, if it was hot, they would water down the runways, but I guess it's like, it's crazy hot. So I'm thinking, well, with a plane and you're landing and the wheels, that's got to be what it is. When you're talking about 117, and, you know, Fresno was like 117, 115, too. And then even Colorado, I have friends in Colorado, 107. Hey, for all of you in Arizona, the Arizona-Mexico border, woo, you're smoking hot. And we know it can get hot. But you add another 10 degrees, and that's a whole different thing that we're talking about, you know. And then I even read something where they were questioning, they being the WMO, they archive weather and climate extremes, right? And they were questioning the accuracy of old temperature records, that, hey, maybe these records aren't aren't accurate, and maybe that's part of it, that we're saying, holy moly, how, you know, the world meteorological, I said it, organization, which is the governing body that determines formal weather records across the globe, maybe they just didn't have it right. Maybe there were temperatures that soared. So, I know, listen, I've been in Vegas when it's been hot, and then what happens is you go into a casino, you go into a store, and it is like walking into a freezer. So you go from these crazy, crazy, you know, extremes. I mean, crazy extremes. All right, moving on to another one. This one's good because this is focused on Richard Branson. And this is Brad, who says, Kate, Richard Branson back from space. I love it. Good for him. If he has the money to be able to do it, and he's been talking about it forever. I know on your show, you've been doing the show for, you know, more than 10 plus years. That story comes up here and there about Branson. And you talk to Branson, you know how important it was for him. He's that adventure dude that had the cash where he could make that happen. And who knows, eventually maybe it becomes affordable for regular people, so to speak, to be able to get a ticket. It's not going to ever be cheap, but maybe it's something people could plan for. And what a view you'd have if you could look back and see the Earth. I agree. What a view you'd have if you could look back and see the Earth. I've talked to astronauts, including John Glenn, and I was like, of all the people I've interviewed, interviewing him was so fascinating because he just had this calm about him, and he was interesting to talk to, and of course to me, what is it like? What's it like being up there? And he says it's like no view. There's no view that can compete with that, the peacefulness of it. And I don't know. I think there would be something to seeing how small the planet is. Thinking of, you know, you're one person on a spinning planet, and now you're looking back and seeing the spinning planet. I think it's cool. Let him do it. He donates money to charity, and like I already said this, and of course, you know, we live in a capitalistic society pretty much, and if he wants to do that and he can afford to do it, again, let him do it, of course. All right, this one's interesting because I was going to bring this up, but instead, Nikki brought this up for me, and Nikki says, Kate, you've been talking about people being crazy on these flights. Did you see the story about the woman who had to be duct taped? I did. It was in the New York Post, and I guess they had to duct tape her to an airplane seat last week because she attacked the flight crew. She tried to open the door of the plane in mid-flight. There was a video that was posted on social media. That's how this all broke out. She had duct tape over her mouth, her arms, and her body taped to the seat. And she could be heard, like, in the video screaming, you, you, you. And this was American Airlines Flight 1774. And it was a two-hour flight from Dallas to Charlotte, North Carolina. It was delayed 3 hours before it finally left at midnight. But about an hour into the trip, chaos was what broke out because of the woman who went nuts, and then they had to ultimately they had to hold her down. They had to do what they did. American Airlines has confirmed the incident. Crazy. All right, flip me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Four people have been arrested in Denver on drug and weapons charges at a hotel near Coors Field, where the MLB All-Star Game will be held this week. Three men and a woman were arrested at the Maven Hotel after police received a tip about suspicious activities in the two rooms. The FBI says it has no reason to believe that the group posed any threat to the nearby All-Star Game. And dozens of wildfires continue to burn in the western U.S. as the region deals with another heat wave. Excessive heat warnings have been issued in six states with millions baking under record-high temperatures. Las Vegas tied its record high on Saturday at 117 degrees. The Beckwith Complex fire in eastern California is now the largest in the state, having burnt more than 86,000 acres. The U.S. Forest Service says it's only around 8% contained and threatening to cross into Nevada. The Bootleg fire in southern Oregon doubled in size over the weekend to over 144,000 acres with 0% containment as of Sunday morning. This is USA Radio News. A new study purportedly backs up claims that the COVID vaccines have saved thousands of lives. Mike Fortier reports.
Researchers at the Yale School of Public Health find the vaccine saved up to 279,000 lives in the U.S. The study released this week also finds vaccines prevented over a million people from being hospitalized. The study's lead author warns, though, that the danger is not over and now is not the time to let down our guard. Researchers warn the gains we have made against the virus could be swiftly reversed by the Delta variant, which they say has the potential to unleash a surge of new cases among the millions who remain unvaccinated. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And 6 months after the riots at the Capitol building, the security fencing that was erected in the aftermath has finally come down. Capitol Police decided to take the barriers down based on the state of threats against the Capitol and improvements in their abilities to respond to those threats. The last sections of the fencing that once surrounded several blocks around Capitol Hill came down over the weekend. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Sergeant Travis Mills. He's a veteran, married father of two, and one of only five quadruple amputees to survive the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and who recently celebrated his ninth Alive Day on April 10th. While serving his third tour in Afghanistan back in 2012, he was seriously injured in an IED explosion that cost Travis his arms and legs, but of course, he has this incredible spirit I keep hearing about, and he's a wonderful speaker, and some people I know Travis. And first of all, Travis, thanks so much for your service, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. I do appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
So take us back to that day and then how you moved forward.
Yeah, well, I just had an unfortunate day at work, case of the Mondays, but I was on my third deployment to Afghanistan, and we went out like normal. I was a weapons squad leader, and I set my backpack on the ground after it was marked clear. And unfortunately, underneath the backpack was a bomb. It was one of 13 in a row, actually. And, the bomb went off. And at the aftermath of the bomb going off, my right hand and right leg were gone. My left hand was still there, but that was about it. And then they worked on me, my medics and platoon sergeant and stuff. I got tourniquets on me, and I thought I wasn't going to make it, so I was just staying calm and telling them that whatever happens is fine. And then they got me on a helicopter within 10 minutes of that and got me to the hospital, and the doctors and nurses worked on me for 14 hours. and there was 9 doctors and 7 nurses that worked on me, and they kept, you know, pumping air in my lungs and giving me more blood transfusions, and truly a miracle that I'm still here, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm kind of breezing through this, not meaning to like sound so nonchalant, like, oh, you know, it's blown up, whatever. But yeah, it happened 9 years ago to me, and I became one of the 5 surviving quadruple, you know, amputees. And, you know, the funny thing is, 2 guys got arm transplants already, so I'm not sure if they still consider quadruple amputees, so maybe I'm even more elite in my club of only 3 of us.
Wow. I love your attitude. Like you said, I'm not trying to be nonchalant, but hey, 9 years ago. So if we fast forward to now, you know, after all those surgeries, what's life like?
That's pretty normal, which might sound silly, but I run and operate a very large nonprofit for combat veterans and service connected injured veterans and their families, show them how to do things adaptively. We have a post-traumatic stress program as well as the Travis Mills Foundation. And it's a retreat we set up, and we put a lot of time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and now we're bringing in 8 families per week, show them they can do anything they want to do, whether they are amputated, paralyzations, you know, spinal cord injuries. And then we also, like I said, have a post-traumatic stress program, which is called post-traumatic growth. You know, it's really awesome that we're able to do that. And I just have a lot of support from people, you know, throughout the nation and even the world to make sure that I get the donations we need to run this place at no cost to the families. And I also, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So I own a lodge and a marina where it's a for-profit business, and an insurance company I'm a part owner in, as well as do motivational speaking all across the nation. So it's a lot of fun for me. And, you know, I'm not trying to brag, but I have, you know, spoken Mexico and Jamaica and other countries. So I'm kind of an international speaker, you know, no big deal. But it's just a lot of fun. And I have my wife, Kelsey, and my 2 children. I have a 9-year-old that thinks she's 14 or 15, I guess, but her name's Chloe, and my son is 3 going on 4 next month.
Wow. So you have a very, very full life. What's it like for you, especially in inspiring with your nonprofit? What's it like inspiring other veterans? I mean, that has to be empowering for you, too, but also that feeling of giving back.
Well, I think it's twofold, right? Like, there's first, I was in the service. I wanted to serve my country, and this is a way for me to serve. This way for me to give back and show people, like, you can still do good things no matter what your situation is. And then there's also, I was given that same inspiration by a guy named Todd Nicely. He flew in, when he found out I was injured, he flew into Walter Reed Hospital, and he met me at my bedside, you know, like, hey, man, you're going to be fine. You're going to walk, try, feed yourself. He was the second ever quadruple amputee, and he kind of, like, painted that roadmap for me. So I made it a point to meet everybody in their rooms when I was at Walter Reed as I was recovering to go say, hey, look, you're not a bad person. You know, nothing you did in life caused this. This just happens, and now it's time to get over that and get past it, and let's get better. And I really enjoy, you know, giving the same message of hope that I got from Todd.
And when you know, as you said, you're an international speaker, you've spoken all over the place. What's that like for you, the speaking part of your life?
Well, it's a lot of fun. You know, I have like a Wells Fargo or a Microsoft or, you know, Amerisource and USAA. Like, I have, you know, these bigger corporate offices that bring me into their company events, and I get to travel and see a lot of cool places. And of course, when I talk to my wife back home with the kids running around like crazy, it's always like, well, I'm in a hotel room eating Arby's, you know? And the truth is, I love Arby's. So that's not a knock on Arby's, but if she found out the steakhouses I was going to and the places I went and everything like that, she might be a little bit bitter. But no, it's a lot of fun. And my father-in-law actually travels all over with me, and we have a good time. And you know, I make it a point, because I'm not too big for my britches, if you will. I stay in the room, I'm the last one usually in there. So if I got to meet, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people, I do that. I shake hands, I take pictures, I sign copies of my book. Usually the company buy, you know, my book for everybody. It's called Tough As They Come. Not to promote myself, sorry if that sounds like I'm, you know, too addy. But it's a lot of fun. I get to go to Minnesota next week, actually, and do a press. No. Yeah, next week. Sorry, I thought it was this week. Next week I'm going to Minnesota, and I think October, I'm on the road about 24 of the 31 days.
Wow. Wow. And in your message, what's the main core part of your message? Obviously, I think I said it too, that, you know, determination, overcoming whatever's happening in your world. But what is the gist of it, do you think, from what you learned and what you've seen and while you're out there?
Yeah, I tell them, don't step on bombs. You know, that's rule number one, because they'll change you. But, no, it's all based on resiliency. You know, I get to cover motivation, how that plays a part in recovery, talk about, you know, long-term and short-term goals just in life in general. I explain my healthcare technology, you know, my prosthetic arms and legs that I use, and then I let them know about, you know, it's all about perspective. And the guys that make it back home, that I keep going forward, you know, because I'm allowed to and have the ability. And then also just, you know, reiterate the slogan of never give up, never quit, because, you know, there's days that are darker than others in the recovery process, and you got to get past those, because, you know, you really come to a choice in life where you either do it or you don't do it, and it's up to you. And fortunately, I chose to get better, but I cannot, for some reason, find out how to not eat like Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. I mean, my waistline keeps growing, and I don't want it to. And I know, like, it's not like science anymore. Like, well, I wonder why I'm getting bigger. I know what it is. I just love Philly cheesesteaks with pepper jack cheese, bacon, and jalapenos. You know, if you just in case we ever go out to dinner sometime, and you and me and my wife and everybody's out there having a great time, I'm going to order a Philly cheesesteak, and I'm not going to feel bad about it until the next morning when I say I lost more weight.
Well, you should never feel bad about it. I'm from the Philly, South Jersey area, so that was a staple in my family. And I can take you, if we're ever in the same place, I can take you to some of the best places to get a real, authentic Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, I am in. As long as, but, you know, I like pepper. You know, let's not get in the weeds of that. There's more important stuff I probably want to talk about than me telling you that cheese whiz is not my first go-to. And don't judge me on it. But no, I mean, it's a weird thing that happened to me. It's very unlikely to happen to a lot of people. Like, I know that from just statistics, but I could either dwell on the past or I could just reminisce the past and push forward. And I've been fortunate to have wonderful support from, you know, my family, my wife, my parents, my in-laws, my daughter, my son, as well as my friends. And, you know, we just keep pushing. We keep pushing and doing a lot of cool things. And if anybody gets bored and wants to check out, you know, just TravisMills.org or my Instagram and Facebook, you know, at SSG. I started TikTok. How cool am I?
Oh, TikTok.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to see that.
I did a video of me getting, you know, fireworks blowing me up and arms and legs like a yard sale all over the lawn. Got pretty good reviews so far.
So you are funny. So in celebrating an Alive Day, that's a big day, and I mentioned that at the top. What's that like for you?
You know, I'm different. Like, I call my buddy Scott Mallory because it's his birthday, and I say happy birthday. And then I figure because I got blown up the 10th, but April 14th is actually my birthday, and that's when they woke me up from medical sedation. I don't really make a big hoopla about it. You know, at first it was like, I'm not going to talk about it. And then it was like, I just want to tell everybody, thank you. Thanks for not giving up on me. Thanks for being a part of my recovery or part of my life now. And that's about it. You know, I don't dwell on it. I don't really sit there and worry about it. I mean, I got too many things to worry about. You know, my son is 4 and he loves it, or about to be 4, and he likes to, you know, wrestle me and stuff. So I got to make sure he always knows that I'm tougher. You know, I got way bigger fish to fry.
I can completely understand that. So if people are listening, you already mentioned the website, but let's say it again, the nonprofit, it's just all roads lead there, right, to your website?
Yep, absolutely. But TravisMillsFoundation.org for all of that. And, you know, we have a good time, and we're helping a lot of families, and that's what it's all about. And we have a big build coming up. You know, it's like a $6 million build, but it helps us run programming, you know, in the winter months here in Maine. And that way we can do more, give more, and you know, help these families really understand, hey, life goes on. Let's keep going. Don't live on the sidelines.
Yeah. Travis Mills, thanks again for all you do to inspire people out there and veterans and everybody that you come across. I've heard wonderful things about you. I can't wait to meet you, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Absolutely. Take care. Thanks for your time.
Delaney. We have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Started to jump back on planes, and I have a lot of questions about what's happening technology-wise. So who better to have on than Brianna Frank? She's the director of IBM Cloud. And there are a lot of us that are questioning, geez, you know, there's some challenges to doing this and to being flexible and figuring this out. And so how do we do this? Brianna, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's take a sort of a tour through the cloud and marry that to the travel industry. When we look at technology and what role it plays in the travel industry, I think it's pretty big, and I saw this myself, but tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think the technology and the travel industry have gone hand in hand for quite some time, whether it's finding the best price or the perfect hotel room in the perfect location. You know, all of that is really leveraging technology, and it's bringing information, you know, closer to the user so that they can make the most informed decision. But now with the pandemic, the demand for travel is really surged, and, you know, our expectations are higher than ever. A lot of us have put off travel for a year, and, you know, this trip is important to us, and we want to have that, you know, best amazing experience while we're staying safe at the same time.
Yeah. So here's the question. We keep hearing the word hybrid. I hear it as a speaker. I hear it in broadcasting, and certainly we hear it when it comes to traveling. So what is hybrid cloud, and why have travel companies really pushed or accelerated the adoption of it during the pandemic?
No, that's a great question. So hybrid cloud really allows, you know, travel companies to leverage maybe existing applications or existing data and add new features and functions to that. So what we can do is bring the cloud to where the application or where the data resides. But really what all that means is that travel companies are able to adapt and build new technology faster and, you know, new features and apps and new experiences so that they can, you know, adapt to the changes of the pandemic or just the travel industry as a whole have demanded. So it allows them to innovate faster, push new features into apps on a daily, hourly basis instead of months, you know, even years to develop new technologies that we've seen in the past. Today, you know, consumers are demanding, you know, instantaneous, you know, very, very great experiences, and travel companies can deliver that with, as long as they have flexible tools and they're able to innovate faster.
Yeah. So that's a good follow up to this. So what are some of the benefits they've seen with the adoption of some of that technology you're talking about?
You know, I've seen a lot of travel companies leverage AI, you know, artificial intelligence, and that really starts to predict where there might be problems, where there might be a surge of demand. So, you know, imagine if you're a rental car company, there may be a surge of demand in one specific location, in one specific city, and you'd be able to start to predict those patterns using artificial intelligence. Another area that we're seeing that is really benefiting both the user and the travel industry is this concept of a virtual assistant. And there, AI can predict the kinds of questions that, you know, consumers might have or, you know, what problems they might run into. You know, so therefore, you know, users can use an app or go online and be able to really rectify those, you know, their questions or whatever problem they might have. Maybe they're going to rebook onto a different flight, and they can do that all without talking to an agent. And the trend that we're seeing most post-pandemic is really around contactless travel. So being able to check in without, you know, talking to a human, or being able to order, you know, drinks or snacks on a flight without having to have a lot of interaction with a flight attendant.
Yeah, boy, that's where I've seen the big difference, Brianna, with myself, in being able to switch a flight, be able to figure out, again, what you just said, contactless travel, what's happening there. That saved my bacon, so to speak, when I took a trip to Florida. So it's tremendous what you're doing. Is it exciting for you as the director of IBM Cloud to see all these new uses?
It really is. You know, I think that for me, I think, you know, I tell a story. A couple years ago, I took a family vacation, and I flew a budget airline with my family, and I used a new feature in the app, which was passport scanning. So I had small kids at the time, so I, you know, was able to scan everybody's passport. My boarding passes were in my phone. It was a lot easier for me to manage. But then I flew home on my tried and true airline, one I've been very loyal to for years, and they didn't have passport scanning. And so I was in the hotel room, you know, entering in everyone's, you know, middle name and passport number while everyone else was having fun at the beach. And I thought, you know, this passport scanning feature is actually pretty important. And it seems like just a feature, but it really is impacting my ability to have fun. And so, you know, I started to question my loyalty to that airline. And interestingly enough, the next week I flew out for work on that same airline, and they already had passport scanning as a feature. And I think that is really what it's all about, is that these airlines, the travel industry as a whole, are having to react so quickly to, you know, what their competitors are doing and then what we as consumers are demanding. Because, you know, the more we get a taste of this instantaneous, you know, service, we want more of it. And so I think that's what's exciting, to see how quickly the airline industry can adapt to, you know, what we want is to have more fun and have a better trip.
Yeah, I like your example. That was a great example. So, Brianna, where can people go for more information?
Absolutely. IBM.com/cloud.
Excellent. Brianna Frank, Director of IBM Cloud, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that was good information, useful stuff. We're seeing a lot of people are traveling, and this is where you don't want to get stuck, and especially rebooking, moving things around, checking in, as Brianna was talking about, because of delays, things that are happening on Southwest, American, Delta, any of the airlines. You don't hear Delta as much, or even United, but you hear American, and especially Southwest has had some problems, and most of that has to do do with personnel and training those pilots to get them up and in the air and have all those flights, have the crews that they need. So there's a lot of rearranging. And there's the normal things that happen, like Tampa had delays in some other places in Florida did because of the tropical storm. How about this, kind of along those same lines, Airbnb is blocking bookings left and right. Have you ever done an Airbnb? And so here's what's happening. They're blocking the large gatherings. You know, throughout the pandemic, they certainly did that. They blocked 50,000 plus suspicious bookings. It included 7,000 in Dallas, 6,000 in San Diego, and more than 5,000 in Charlotte. So, people wanted to get together with thousands of their best friends, and that wasn't considered to be kosher. So they said they knew they were looking at it, and they knew, yeah, we're not renting this. It's hard anyway because, you know, when I did an Airbnb once, and it was amazing, and it was a great experience, and the owner and I went back and forth, and it was no problem, but there was like three of us. So I wasn't saying, listen, I have 500 of my best friends, or wink, wink, I have five of my best friends, multiply that, I won't really tell you the amount of people that are coming in, and it's easy to tattle on someone or to see that, but especially I think there was concerns about what could happen if you had that many people stuffed into some of these places. All right, speaking of being stuffed, how about this one? This is crazy and a perfect wrap-up to this hour of the show. I don't know how anyone does this in the first place, and I've interviewed some of these professional eaters. That's what you are, a professional eater, when you stuff hot dogs or other types of food down your throat and you get paid to do it because you win. Pro eater Joey Chestnut banked $10,000 on Sunday for inhaling 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes at Nathan's annual contest in Coney Island. So I was reading a story in the Washington Post. They estimated that his intake was 20,520 calories, 1,102 grams of fat, 684 grams of protein, 50,160 milligrams of sodium. Wow. I would hope that the hot dogs were not the kind that were just loaded with salt and all that sodium. That is so awful for you. What do you do to wind down your professional eater? How does he do it? I have no idea. He's won 14 of the last 15 years. It's crazy. It's insane, I tell you. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show, and Nathan Reeder for his incredible work. As always, on the technicals, make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.